Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Storyboards with Esther Arcone, brought to you by a team of voices.com, a team of voices, a group located on allpoetry.com. And I always like to say thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk so we can geek out live. Also, a special thanks for AP Taylor for sponsoring the blog talk page. We have different shows every night of the week, different themes and different hosts, so there's something for everyone. We mix in poetry with game shows, talk shows, fandoms, which is mostly what I focus on, and do a little bit of sci-fi cult classic, a little bit of D&D. I'm a little bit all over the place here on Storyboards. And tonight we are going forward with our Silmarillion little venture we are having. We are on part 3, Zavarda, and we are talking Olmo and Nienna. And we'll get into those two characters pretty soon. Before I go any further, I do want to make a disclaimer. I still am not 100%, so it's easy for me to mute myself when I'm not the host. I am the host, so I may be prone to cough if I mute myself in random awkward spots because I don't want you to hear me hacking up a lung. Yes, so hello, Rakentor, how are you?
I'm good. I'm thinking listening to you hack along is preferable to silence, so hack away.
I don't know. I'd rather listen to that. My cough is pretty deep. I'm a lifetime asthmatic, and I'm pretty sure I have some kind of bronchitis going on that's like a too exasperated by my asthma and allergies, so I don't really know what's happening. All I know is that I want it to go away. Been here for a couple weeks now. Just taking my nebulizer 3 times a day here. So take it in the morning when I get home from work, and then at night, I've been just kicking back that nebulizer.
Worked out.
Yeah. So, you know, doing what I can. So I'm super excited to talk about, we would have been on number 4 today. Unfortunately, Blog Talk had some issues yesterday, and we were unable to go live. So what I have done, I have moved yesterday's show to today, and I moved today's show that was supposed to be aired. It's actually not going to be able to air until the 1st of next month because I'm not moving my D&D show. My D&D show is next week, so I'm not going to be kicking everything out. So there we go. And
this is D&D.
This is D&D. Not quite yet. Not quite yet. I hope you enjoyed the opening music. Started off kind of slow, and then it got kind of fast. I'm sorry. I don't really know what I was thinking here.
You're good.
It's fine. Yeah, I know. Both songs were Nordic. So that's why you can, the lyrics are really beautiful. I could look them up. I'm not going to read them for you, unfortunately. But if you want to look them up, I don't even know how I'm going to survive. I ran out of cough drops. Sorry, guys. If you want to look them up, one of them was Joanna Jimpton. And she's actually an artist, a photographer, a filmmaker, and a musician, like a jack of all trades, and the lyrics are pretty nice, and it is called, what did I say what it was called already?
Nope.
The Nordic Lullaby. The Nordic Lullaby. My computer is being really slow, like, really slow. Like, when I click the Blog Talk page, it takes, like, it's still loading, and I pressed it, like, 40 seconds ago, and it's still not working. So we're going to do what we can tonight with my slow computer. Good thing is I don't have a lot of clips tonight. I have one clip. Oh, my gosh. I should go find some cough drops, but I think I ran out. We have one clip that talks about Omo and Nienna. I really like Omo and Nienna. I think it's because of my love for Poseidon. And, hold on.
Oh, you're muted, aren't you? Imagine
a
beautiful...
imagine a what?
I was going to say, imagine a beautiful concert. But, you know...
I know.
You keep them back.
Well, I muted myself on the computer, too, which is not good. I'm going to have to mute myself on my phone because, like I said, my computer's not... I would have only muted myself for a second, but it took more seconds for the lag, so I'm just going to have to mute myself on my phone. If you will, imagine, like, I'm a really big fan of Poseidon. I always love the sea god, and
and the crushing waves.
I just love Hippocampus. I just love Hippocampus. But the thing is that Greek mythology is really kind of like, the Greek gods were like assholes. Like, I read a lot of Greek mythology. You know, I've read the Iliad a couple times. Like, I've read like other versions and other stories because I brought a couple poems where I kind of highlighted some of the Greek tales because I really enjoy them. And I had never come across this one, but apparently Medusa, and this is going to round back to the Silmarillion, so don't worry. We are going to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole, but I'm going to come back. So, Rakador, tell me if you knew this. If you knew this, because I didn't know this. And I had just came across the story. But Medusa, you know Medusa.
With the snake.
The snake head, and, you know, she's a... Gorgon, and you look at her and you turn to stone, right? So the reason why she was like that was because Poseidon basically had his way with her against her will, and it turned her into that beast, right? So
yeah.
I had never realized that story or never had looked too far into it. I don't know. And I know that there's a lot of like really gray areas where they're not that great, and you just kind of overlook the bad things, right? And you're just like, who's your favorite Greek god? And I'm like, Poseidon. But I feel like he's actually really bad. All the stories, it's getting harder and harder to overlook the bad that has happened. So what I think I'm going to do, besides the hippocampus, because I really love the hippocampus, I think I'm just going to love Omo now, because Omo is like, kind of like the way that Neptune in Roman, the kind of same way that Neptune is Poseidon in Roman mythology, and Poseidon is in Greek mythology, and I'm sure there's an ancient Sumerian or an Egyptian god that is similar, because that's where they all stem from, right, the Egyptian gods. So now I can just stay with Omo, and he didn't, like, have these horrific take advantage of people moments of his life. So I think I'm just going to stick with Omo. All right. So I'm going to play this because I just went on and on about this guy, and probably nobody knows who they are. My clip is very short, so it's only 3 minutes and 27 seconds. It's from the book. It's the only clip from the book that I'm going to play tonight because I only took the clip about Omo, and then I took I believe I cut out a section, so it's not actually in order, because I wanted this section about Nienna as well. So I believe there's a section about Omo, and then they talk about the other part. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I have to be honest with you. This is the post I've talked all day. There's a gap, and then the book talks about Nienna. Now, most of the book I'm going to play in order. This is the only one I didn't, because I wanted to highlight these two characters. Not the only one I didn't, but I will not do that during the time I highlight the characters of the Varda. And maybe the Maya, but I'm not sure where the Maya are. So here we go, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about it. Hopefully I'm going to find some cough drops while this three-minute clip is playing. So
He's not related to Edward James, right?
Ulmo is the Lord of Waters. He is alone. He dwells nowhere long, but moves as he will in all the deep waters about the earth.
All right, so I'm going to press play again, Rack, and my computer's really lagging. So when I press play...
I will shut up.
I can't. It's hard for me to press unplay. I may have to restart. Once I play this clip, I may restart because I don't have to press stuff for a little while. Okay, here we go.
Ulmo is the Lord of Waters. He is alone. He dwells nowhere long, but moves as he will in all the deep waters about the earth or under the earth. He is next in might to Manwë, and before Valinor was made, he was closest to him in friendship. But thereafter, he went seldom to the councils of the Valar, unless great matters were in debate. For he kept all Arda in thought, and he has no need of any resting place. Moreover, he does not love to walk upon land, and will seldom clothe himself in a body after the manner of his peers. If the children of Eru beheld him, they were filled with a great dread. For the arising of the King of the Sea was terrible as a mounting wave that strides to the land with dark helm foam-crested and raiment of mail shimmering from silver down into shadows of green. The trumpets of Manwë are loud, but Ulmo's voice is deep as the deeps of the ocean, which he only has seen. Nonetheless, Ulmo loves both elves and men, and never abandoned them, not even when they lay under the wrath of the Valar. At times he will come unseen to the shores of Middle-earth, or pass far inland up firths of the sea, and there make music upon his great horns, the Ulumuri, that are wrought of white shell. And those to whom that music comes hear it ever after in their hearts, and longing for the sea never leaves them again. But mostly, Ulmo speaks to those who dwell in Middle-earth with voices that are heard only as the music of water. For all seas, lakes, rivers, fountains, and springs are in his government, so that the elves say that the spirit of Ulmo runs in all the veins of the world. Thus news comes to Ulmo, even in the deeps, of all the needs and griefs of Arda, which otherwise would be hidden from Manwë. Mightier than Este is Nienna, sister of the Theanturi. She dwells alone. She is acquainted with grief and mourns for every wound that Arda has suffered in the marring of Melkor. So great was her sorrow as the music unfolded that her song turned to lamentation long before its end, and the sound of mourning was woven into the themes of the world before it began. But she does not weep for herself. And those who hearken to her learn pity and endurance in hope. Her halls are west of west, upon the borders of the world, and she comes seldom to the city of Valimar, where all is glad. She goes rather to the halls of Mandos, which are near to her own. And all those who wait in Mandos cry to her, for she brings strength to the spirit and turns sorrow to wisdom. The windows of her house look outward from the walls of the world.
Okay, and I know we haven't gotten to Mandos yet because he isn't going to be there, but he's the Lord of the Dead, you know. Just think Underworld. He's the Lord of the Dead. So, like I said, Elmo, I didn't find any cough drops. I found some Werther's coffee-flavored things. Maybe it will help soothe my, I don't know. So Elmo has some synonyms. Dweller of the Deep, King of the Sea, Lord of the Waters, and he is the second highest ranking of the Valar, right below Manwë, which we talked about Manwë last week. We talked about Manwë and Varda. Sorry, he's after Manwë and Varda. So Manwë and Varda are first, so he's third in line. And the clip said it a little bit, but he really was very much like the elves. He supported the elves and kind of like even helped them when they were, when all the Valar wanted them shipped over. He kind of said, let the elves roam around free and they'll help the people of Middle Earth. And he kind of went against what everybody was saying, well, all the other Valar. Of course, he lost that battle, but he is definitely of the people, if you will. And the thing that I also really like is that because water streams through the entire world, I love the idea of he lives throughout every water in the world and through every stream, and that the water holds the most out of all things in nature. It holds the music of Einar, the echo of it, the most. So when people hear or see the water, they can feel and hear the music of the Einar, of the creation of the world. And I like that it's in the water because I'm a water baby. So, you know, you can say, well, it's not in the wind, it's in the water. Do you have any questions, Rakentor? I mean, I'm not an expert by any means, so I can't answer all questions, but...
No, you know, I can make quippy jokes about, you know, Elmo and things like that, but I'm good.
Okay. Well, you can make a joke if you want to make a joke.
Well, I did already. I mean,
as long as it's appropriate...
Yes, it was appropriate. It just flowed on by. That's okay.
Oh, did I miss it?
Yeah, because Edward James almost. Never mind.
No, please explain it. I mean, it won't be funny anymore after you explain it, but at least I'll get it. So go ahead. What were you saying?
No, earlier when you mentioned Elmo, I said, is he related to Edward James? And just, you know. Dead silence.
Who's Edward James? I don't know.
Edward James almost. He's an actor.
What is he playing?
I guess Before Your Time. I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Why does anybody say that? Like, if I don't know somebody, it's always Before Your Time, Sky.
No.
Your time.
I know old actors. I understand that, but my head is Swiss cheese also. So, you know, it's like selective things, and you'd recognize him if you saw him, but you know, off the top of my head, I couldn't name what he was in, but he's a pretty famous actor in his day.
Okay, see, all that talking gave me time to drink my tea. Thank you for not making me monologue. I appreciate your conversation. So another thing I like about Elmo is that he kind of says to himself, he's not married. He's only one of the other two that aren't married, besides Melkor, of course. And he kind of does his own thing. He doesn't really go to council meetings. The only one that he really went to was when they prepared an attack on Melkor. And he And yeah, so he went for that one. So like I was saying earlier, and I'm just going to reiterate because I can, I have it in front of me. So he also was the chief of a minority of the Valar who believed that the elves should remain free and in Middle Earth and heal the hurts of the land with their skills and grace. But his opinion was overruled. So he wanted the elves to have freedom, and unfortunately, they didn't. So when Melkor was given a second chance and pardoned for some of his crimes, Ulmo and Tulkas, who we will get to Tulkas later, he's towards the end of the Valar, they were still distrustful of him. They were the only one that was like, I don't think this guy should be pardoned. But, of course, they listened to Manwë's bidding, and they supported Manwë, but they were like, yeah, this guy isn't going to – this. We shouldn't forgive this guy. Ulmo is said to be derived from the Valyrian, and I'm going to try to pronounce this. It's no guarantee I get this right. Alubas. So I like derivatives of names, and an alternative Ulmo is Tenya title, which means the poorer, or to pour like water. So when Tolkien was deciding these names, he really put, you know, thought into, like, which I like too also, to kind of make their names kind of go with, you know, who they are.
Yes.
I do that with my plants.
Bugs Bunny did that too.
How did Bugs Bunny do that?
Well, there was one episode where Bugs Bunny was stranded on an island, and there's two guys washed up on the island, and Bugs Bunny welcomed them to, it was Huma Huma Nuka Nuka Apawa'a Island, and that's actually the Hawaiian name for the state fish, the triggerfish. So when I went to Hawaii, they were like, "What? Does anyone know the name of the fish?" And I said it in Hawaiian, and the guy was so dejected, he wanted to, he's like, "Yeah, that's right."
Oh, my gosh. AP, listen, my friends, I feel like terrible because you've been waiting for 7 minutes. If you ever wait that long, and it's because I was reading text and I wasn't looking, I was like looking at my notes for the show and I was looking at that. If that ever happens again, I don't know, press a button or something.
Okay.
I mean, if it's like,
answering your question. I was answering your question. I was researching.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't on that page because I was looking at my notes, and I'm like, 8 minutes ago, man, this guy's been waiting a while.
No. I was coming back to Edward James Olmos. Yeah.
Oh.
Because
okay.
He was in Battlestar Galactica.
Mm. Oh, that's right.
And he was in Blade Runner. Like, he was in some significant, like, stuff.
Yeah.
So, I've never seen Blade Runner.
I know.
Because we'll get really...
You can't...
I know.
That's like saying that, you know, we live on a flat Earth. You've got to have watched Blade Runner.
I know.
No, you just got to get off the phone and go and watch that. It's just one of the world's most brilliant movies.
Right now, you need to make that a priority, number one.
No. It is a brilliant movie.
You did a poem You did a poem, and it was a picture from that film when he's, like, in the rain.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I remember the picture,
yeah.
but I remember you wrote to that picture and you wrote a poem. And I enjoyed it, and I remember
yeah.
it. Like, and I read a lot of things here, obviously. We're on every day. We're on 8.
I
specifically remember that. So it
yeah.
made an impression on
me. It left a big impression on me, Blade Runner. A great, 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 great film. Can I say great again? Great film.
I'm going to go to this guy's IMDb page. How are you doing today, AP?
I am well, and I have a suggestion for a poem, but of course you can knock it back.
What do you mean I can knock it back?
Bear with. Well, no, you could, because you could say it doesn't fit the category, but I think it actually might. So just bear with me for a tick, because I have been on the Tolkien wiki to try and make sure this fits, because in this particular book there's a time of the trees. There's two trees and they don't light all of Middle Earth, but they that's not the start, but they do light. Yeah. Now
yes,
interestingly
we're highlighting
enough,
those at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, bear with me, because I went on, because the elves were, of course, part of the original discussion of this whole book. But before the elves, there were the Ents. And so
right.
I'm going to take the position that the Ents were around when those two trees were around.
Okay. Well,
I
don't disagree with you. We're going to be talking about next week. I'm going to be talking about the person who created the Ents to protect. That's next week. So this is it is very relatable. But I'm also going to I'm going to hand the phone over to Raconteur to explain my position on relatable. On topic.
Right. It's because I have, you know, a convoluted mind, and it's easy to get from A to B when you can, you know, skip around to do it. So everything winds up being related in one way or another. I mean, trees drink water, and she's talking about almost, so, you know, there you go. It's on top.
So that is so my position of on topic. My position of on topic is I want you to preview, be inspired by some of the characters that
yes.
I love, that I see, that I think are creative. And if you bring me a poem about the river, then you're on topic.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you, I am so broad on topic. I just, so,
okay.
But yes.
If you're broad in terms of on topic, this is actually almost close. I was on topic. Because this is a poem about Treebeard.
Okay. Oh, I love it. Oh, my gosh.
This is Treebeard. You ready?
Okay.
This is Treebeard by A.P. Taylor. It's a little bit old, but that's okay. Bear with me. It goes a bit like this. First, a gentle stir to a rustle, and then in a tumble of weeds, as the boughs, olive, slow tussle, was a faint skitter of dry leaves. In whispers of branches a jostle to bright canopies on fir to some, hear the creaking of an apostle, feet shuffle, words faintly drum. Steel bow, flow wave, as all sing, quiet listen, resolute walk brave, trunks, many a mission, forest, march, sedition, oldest bark still feared, centuries lead position, a scraggy oak, tree beard, movement restrained to effort, trunk swaying do slowly walk, starting this murmur concert, quiet, no knowledge do balk. See nets of once think forest, gather edge their waters pan, here to sway bows stressed, in speed sweep out Saruman. Swish bow, sea wave, elements of destruction, march of resolute blaze, history's pyre seduction. Forest senses derision, the oldest bark is feared, led centuries inspired position of scraggy oak, tree beard, and pine.
Absolutely loved it. And it's based on a Tolkien idea, so you're perfectly on topic no matter what. I don't know why I've never read this poem. You should have read me this poem years ago. I'm so glad that you brought it. I'm a huge Ent fan, and I love the way that you read it because it has an effect, and I'm sure it's purposeful. And one of the things is I talk very slow, and whenever they have something really important, even if I'm talking too fast now, anything really important to say, they say it with purpose and slow. And then when you got into the more, when you got going and you got into the piece and you got into the more lyrical part, like the Ents March, you created more of a faster rhythm pace. And that in itself was just awesome that you paid tribute to that. And then on top of that, you're bringing in all these beautiful nuances of this fandom. Of course, the words were gorgeous. When you're bringing in, especially, I might have to read a lot of lines, sorry, but this section right here, the tumble of leaves and then the slow tussle, I love that slow tussle, and the skitter of dry leaves, that's such a beautiful, gorgeous opening stanza. And then you talk about the nature of the canopies of fir to stem. I really love that one as well. I mean, I'm trying to find a favorite line. It is very difficult because I kind of want to just say the whole poem. I think those two opening stanzas were my favorite, and then how you actually brought in when you talk about seen Ents and what thick forest gather edge, their waters pan, the section here when you're actually bringing in Saruman. So I'm just, you brought in, and then the scraggy oak tree beard. Absolutely. I love tree beard, and I love the Ents March. And I think I still have the Ents because I keep most of my sound clips from my previous shows. And when I was doing my, because every year I do a Tolkien, in April I do Tolkien. And the first year I did Lord of the Rings, the film, and I brought in, the Marching of the Ents and Treebeard song, and I think I still have it. I'm going to have to load it up for tonight's show just because now I want to hear it. Absolutely brilliant poem. I really, really love this one. Like I said, those two first stanzas are my favorite, but I also really love the rhythm and the way you went with the poem and the storyline, how you brought the essence of it in, the storyline of it, and with the words and the way you spoke it. Brilliantly done. Raconteur, what do you think?
Oh, I can't say enough about it. There's so much about this. I mean, the topic, you did an amazing job with the topic itself. To me, trees are already living things. And you gave them the animation that they lack, and which they don't really lack, that's the thing of it, you know, because the rustling is the movement and everything. It's just, you know, you kind of brought it out in a way that you gave them the extra life, I guess, that he was trying to describe to make them more, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It was very, very moving in a lot of ways. There's a lot of words I want to use, like, you made the sky a little sappy, and, your voice was kind of lumbering, and I mean there's so many puns that I could make, but, you know, that would kind of take away from the beauty of what you wrote. And, because you really did touch on a lot of lovely imagery to make this more than just like a poem about someone trying to make bring a tree to life in a way that's a little more than just, you know, standing there, you know, because even just standing there, they're still very interesting and very beautiful, and they still have that movement and life that you know, you almost forget because I guess we want more or expect more. You know, I even to the point that, you know, you kind of mentioned that the whispering trees talk. They do talk, and you know, you brought that out as well. So these are all characteristics that we attribute to something mobile and something more animated than they actually are. So trees are a lot more than they appear, and I guess that's ultimately what your poem really brought out, which is why I appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Rat. Thank you. I love the Ents. One of my favorite Tolkien ever wrote. There's something wonderful about this sort of that, because I always imagined trees could, well, obviously they're living, but I always imagined they could move. And there was something about that image, a whole set of trees moving, that really sort of captured me.
Yeah.
Excellent. And it's one of my favorite parts too. I have a thing for trees, so when he builds characters out of trees and they're alive and right up my alley. Perfect poem for tonight. Mm. Thank you so much, AP. I don't know how much time you have, but I do want you to plug your show for Saturday.
Yeah, you can do it
for Saturday, but also kind of say a little bit about next Wednesday.
Yes, I should do that too. Thank you for reminding me. So we have, of course, the regular open poetry show on Saturday, and we've had some changes of times for me, so that means now 11 a.m. for me. It's still the same for everybody else, but it does help that I know the start time, because that means I'm going to show up. So, which I didn't do last week. Well, I was, but I was late, you know, anyway. So, note, same time for everybody else, earlier for me. On Saturday, drop your open poetry, and if you need a reader, I'll read it. So that's the show. Then, of course, we've got a more, and thank you, Sky, for saying that you'd give up the Wednesday of the following week, because Tuesday, which of course it'll be whatever day it is here, it's Anzac Day on Thursday the 25th, which means that the 24th is the day that it will be Anzac Day here in Australia. And Anzac Day is the day that we basically pay our respects for all of the service that has been given to our country by all of our people who joined our armed forces, not just in Australia but in New Zealand as well, because we always seem to go together and lock hands and go overseas together. And Deb's done a wonderful job of prompts for Anzac Day this year, of putting in all of the pictures that have been illustrated and drawn by children as with Anzac Day as their prompt. So there's some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful pictures there, and my thanks to Deb for finding them. And so some wonderful imagery to write to for Anzac Day. And we'll be doing that show on next Wednesday.
Excellent.
That's all.
Well, thank you so much. Before you go, maybe you want to say hi to Hatter. Hi, Hatter.
Hi, Hatter.
I don't hear a Hatter.
He didn't say hi back. He's not there yet.
He's
maybe
there.
Unmuted. Unmuted. Free the trees, man. Free the trees.
There you go.
Or the elves.
Free the trees.
Roll the trees. Roll the trees. Okay, Doc. Well, I'm going to leave you to it, Hatter, and Sky, and I will. I'll be back soon enough.
All right, thank you so much.
That's a promise.
Thank you, Sky. Talk soon. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye. Yeah. All right, so AP has sent us down the rabbit hole. So I didn't have clips right now, but now I gotta play this. I gotta play some music, okay? So I'm gonna give my voice a little bit of a break, and I'm gonna play some music and inspired by AP's poem. And Tokeen, Hatter, take a little look at the topic board and see what inspires you, and bring a poem and put it down there so we can read it for you. But
the one for tonight.
My suggestion. Yes, my suggestion.
I looked at it. I don't see it. Okay.
Yeah, so my suggestion, right. Since Nienna is, we haven't talked about her, but her central character is the world's grief. So if you have a sad poem about grief, you could bring that. Olmo's main aspect is grief, like sadness. Okay.
Oh, grief.
And then,
grief.
Yeah. Or Olmo, yeah. Olmo is main essence is water. So if you have a poem about anything about water, you can relate it to anything about that.
Okay.
You could go look, put it down on the topic board when you're ready. Now,
okay.
While I'm playing the song, also.
No, I was gonna say H2 Olmo. Sorry.
Oh, I looked at that actor, and he played Selena's dad in Selena the movie. So I did see that. But I know that you mentioned that you had a poem, Raconteur. Did you want me to grab that? You said it when I was driving.
No. You could pretty much, throw a dart at, the Hurt Locker and pick one. But I'm good. I'm commenting.
Well, what about the snowman poem? I really love the snowman poem.
Which one?
I love that snowman. The snowman poem.
Oh, the snowman poem. Yeah, you could definitely have that one. That was
what?
Yeah.
What's that called?
Winter's Heartbreak.
I call it snowman poem.
Winter's Heartbreak, I think.
All right, so I'm gonna go get that, and I'm gonna press play and enjoy some Ents and look for some poetry, and I'm gonna go upload that into the studio. So we'll be right back. Enjoy.
Spring unfolds the beechen leaf, and sap is in the bough. When light is on the wildwood stream, and wind is on the brow. Stride is long and breath is deep and keen the mountain air. Come back to me, come back to me and say my land is fair.
When spring is come to garth and field, and corn is in
and in a moon of gold. Beneath the roof of sleeping leaves, the dreams of trees unfold. When woodland halls are green and cool, and wind is in the west, come back to me, come back to me, and say my land is best.
When
well,
come with a boom. Here we come at last. Come, join the moose. We are off. We are off to Isengard.
To Isengard.
Come with roll of drum, da-rum-da-rum-da-rum-da-rum. We come with horn and drum, da-rum-da-rum-da-rum-da-rum.
And that was the Ent Wives and Ents Marching. The original music was done by Tolkien Ensemble, who took all Tolkien's poems and they wrote them into music, and they did a wonderful performance. I love the Tolkien Ensemble. They're very good. I tend to be more partial to Clamavi de Profundis. So usually I will do their versions, not that, like I said, Tolkien Ensemble is great, I love Clamavi de Profundis. And they're a musical group inspired by religious and classical music as well as fantasy literature, among other genres. They compose original music in addition to performing folk, religious, and other songs. Their music is usually placed in their YouTube channel. Some of Clamavi de Profundis music is Tolkien inspired. And they are known for writing their own musical compositions and songs for poems by J.R.R. Tolkien. So not only do they use the Tolkien Ensemble versions, but they also write a little bit of their own. And they are a family, and because I've read so many things about them, they have wonderful, just different octaves, and they always say, because we're a family, we're able to complement each other wonderfully. And I can't agree more. I really love their versions. And the originals are pretty awesome, too. And I brought them for almost every show that I've done with Tolkien. I think I've featured at least one of their songs. Not the Silmarillion, but when I was doing Lord of the Rings, more specifically. So I hope you enjoyed that. And, of course, all the words are poems by Tolkien. So, I just think it's just wonderful how they put his poems to music. All right, so we're going to move forward. And Raconteur, I did look that guy up. He played in a lot of things. Do you want to say what you texted me? It would totally help if I unmuted everybody, right? Sorry, I muted everybody. Everybody's muted. Hello. Sorry.
That was the role I remembered him most from was from Stand and Deliver. He played the math professor in that. So.
I never saw that.
When I hear his name, that's what I remember him from more than anything. But anyway.
Is it a comedy? That's probably why I haven't seen it. That's why I always say to Steven, is it a comedy?
No. It was a drama. It was based on a true story.
Oh, okay. Well, I still haven't seen it. Sorry. All right, so I'm going to go and attempt to talk about Nina. And we already discussed about Olmo. And so before we get into all these grief poems, I'm going to talk a little bit about Nina. And she is actually another one of the Varda, and there aren't many of them, that are never married. So most of them are coupled up. She is not married, which is why I paired her with Olmo. And also, when I think of water and I think of grief and tears, I mean, one of her synonyms is the weeper. So when I think of that, I also think of water. So I thought they would be a good pairing to put them together on the shows tonight. Most of the other pairings I did because they were married, like Manwe and Varda are married. And Aule, who we're doing next week, and Yavanna are married. So I kind of coupled them up to the shows, and I thought that these ones would go well together. So, like I said, her synonyms, the Weeper, Lady of Mercy. And she was a queen of the Valor and the sister of Mandos and Ormo. And we haven't gotten to those guys yet, but you will, so just hold on. She's acquainted with grief and sorrow, but also pity and courage. So I love that it wasn't just, oh, she's acquainted with grief, but she's also acquainted with courage as well. I love that he paired those attributes together. Her halls are in the distant west, close to the halls of Mandos. And Mandos, like I said, we haven't gotten into him, but he is basically the overseer of the land of the dead. But on the western borders of the world, and her windows look outward from the walls of the world, she dwells alone and rarely travels to the joyful city of Valimar. She goes more often to the halls of her brother, Mandos, to comfort and counsel those in the halls of waiting who cry to her. All that is known about her parents is that she wears a gray hood. Her part in the music of Einar was one of deep sadness, and from this grief entered the world in its beginning. And she played a part in the making. AP, I don't know why he was so worried about not being on topic, because it didn't even mention the two trees of Valinor here. So Nienna played a part in the making, and I'm reading from the notes that I have down on the topic board, so it is there. She played part in making of the two trees of Valinor. And we haven't talked about the two trees of Valinor, and I'm not going to explain it now because we are going to get there. But they're important. Just kind of think of it like I'm going to pique your interest about the two trees, but we're not there yet, and I'm not going to explain it because I don't want to overwhelm anybody. And I want to stay on kind of topic, but she wept on the mound of Ezalar and watering it with her tears. So she watered the trees with her tears. And after the destruction of the trees, spoiler alert, by Melkor – She once again wept on their wounded remains, cleansing the filth of the ungoliant and helping to bring forth the last fruit and flower that were to become the sun and moon. Because before the sun and moon, there were the two trees. So she actually helped to birth the sun and moon as well with her tears. The pity of Nienna is most clearly seen in her support of Melkor when he sued for the pardon of Valor, so when he asked for a pardon. Though she spent her time in the world mourning for the destruction he wrought in Arda, which is the world, when he asked for release after the three ages of captivity, Nienna spoke on his part. And Nienna is Kenya for a word that means tear. So that's all I have on my notes for her. And questions, comments? I don't know everything.
Yeah, what can you review what the storyline and who these people are? I don't know. I'm not familiar.
I just did. That's exact. Better. I love you.
Well, what is it, a story? Is it a TV story? Is it a book? Is it chapters? I don't know.
So, it's okay. I'm going to tell you again. Are you ready?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. And we're doing a series of this, so this is what we're going to be doing for a while. So, ready?
Yeah.
You heard of Lord of the Rings?
You know Lord of the Rings, right?
Yes, I have seen the Lord of the Rings.
Okay, so before the Lord of the Rings,
it was a book.
Tolkien wrote a book called The Silmarillion that was never published till after his death. His son kind of helped put it together and helped to get published. And it basically was the creation of that world, Middle Earth. And he basically took a bunch of, he took a lot of ideas. He was a devout Roman Catholic, but he took ideas from every mythology, every religion, and he created his own basically Bible of creation on how Middle Earth was formed. So in the beginning, there was one, the one above all, and that was Eru Iluvatar. Okay, and that's who we did first, the first volume one. And from his thought, he created the Valar. And basically, if you want to, you can think of them as, you can kind of equate them to maybe the angels. You can maybe equate them to the Greek gods, like Poseidon, and maybe even going back further. And then also to the Roman gods, if you will. And so from these thought, these beings, each one held a specific, you know, they were only one thought, so they were each part of him. And then they made a song. They made a music, which is called the Music of Einar. And with that music, they created the world, right? And then in each part of the world, kind of each one of these beings represents something that was created on Earth. Okay, so tonight we're focusing on Olmo, and he is basically the entity that represents all the seas and the waters of the world. And then Nienna, who represents, like I said, the grief and pity and courage. And they each played a part in not only creating Arda, which is the world, but also moving through it and moving forward and kind of guiding the elves and all these things. And one of them, the one we're doing next week, he actually created the dwarves. So we're going to get into that story next week. So, but I mean, I'm
is there a legend? You said he's taking a little bit from religions and stories.
Well,
and
he took the idea. He didn't take like the text. He just took different ideas and he pulled and he made his own. So if I were to say I want to make a, if I made a world of my own, which he did, because the Middle Earth is his own creation, is his own world, right? He made elves and dwarves and all these things. So he made up his own world. So what he did was, he said, okay, how did this world get started? Well, I'm going to make up that too. And that's basically what he did. He made up his own lore on how this world came into existence. And then all these people and all these good and evils eventually bleed over into the Middle Earth and into the Lord of the Rings, because Melkor eventually becomes Morgoth. So you start to see the good and evil and the fight that eventually is going to spill over. And actually, the Mire, one of the Mire is actually Gandalf. So Gandalf and Saruman, they were around for a long time. They were just called something else, because through time, people may change their names. People, like, if thousands and thousands of years pass, like the elves and humans and the passing of time, they might know you as a different name, and that's kind of like what he's kind of saying that happened to Gandalf, because Gandalf actually starts as a Mire very, very early. So if you like Lord of the Rings, you can start to see how these beginning paths will lead to the characters that you know on screen or in the book of Lord of the Rings, and you can see how he set it all up. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but does he give you some kind of legend that this character
there's a whole book. Yes. So this series is based on the book. So we're doing a whole series based on the book that he wrote called The Silmarillion. Yes, Deb, if you're listening to me, I have time. This is a good time for you to read. I was going to put up Rack, but I'll shoot you in. I don't know if she's listening. I'll just say yes. So the lore is in the book. So I'm taking the book piece by piece in a series and highlighting the different characters and the different stories of it. And that's what we're kind of venturing into.
In other words, she's answering your question, but she's doing it in 40 episodes.
I'm doing it in 47 episodes. 47, Ross. So I'm just going to take that book and I'm going to break it up. So every week for a little while, we're going to have the Varda. All right? So there's 14. There's 14 Varda. And then Melkor would be the 15th, but he's not considered he got fired from that job. So Melkor will be on his own. think of him as like the fallen angel. Like, there are parallels that you could say, oh, well, it's kind of like this. Do you know what I mean? But it's not that. But you can see the parallels. And it's not really copying, because everybody does that. Every religion does that. I mean, I don't want to get into religion. So, but do you know what I mean? Like you can say, oh, well, is it Neptune or is it Poseidon? Well, the Roman is Neptune, Poseidon, and then you could even go back even further into, oh, is it when you go into Norse mythology, right?
Yeah.
So it's really a matter of concept, and it's just this cool thing that he did, and he wrote it, and I think we're just going to – it's just a fun topic. And even if you don't know the context, you can still write to the characters, because you don't have to write about the characters, but you can be inspired by what they represent, which is why I said if you have a poem about grief, that relates to Nienna, because she symbolizes the grief of the world. So when you're picking out poems – for these shows, Hatter, because I know you like to come, when you look at the topic and you see the people that are highlighted, look at their pseudonyms, what they stand for. Next week, we're going to be doing, oh, not next week, because we're doing TNT next week. The week after, oh my gosh, I'm dying.
Choking on.
Oh my gosh.
I'm
a non-smoker. I have bronchitis. I don't even smoke, but oh my gosh. Okay. The next show we have for this is Aule and Yavanna. And I like to call him Hephaestus because that's basically what he is. He's a great smith, friend of Noldor. So he's all about smithing, all right? So if you have something about the fiery flames, there you go. Like, you're going to be right on top of that. And then Yavanna, she's the lover of all things that grow in the earth. So you can bring a poem about nature. Like, so when you look at these topics, think out of the box. Be creative in how you're inspired. I wonder if I got my message. So does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, as long as it'll refer to something that I'll know what to look for, you know, as long as it suggests where it came from. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and the series is called The Silmarillion, and that is what the book is called.
Is it commonly known to people that follow the Lord of the Rings that that he did this, that he wrote an earlier book, and there's references to characters? I mean, because I did not know that, anything about that.
Yes, and then they did a show on Amazon that they thought was going to be based more on this book, but a lot of fans were a little upset because they kind of went off a little bit and they didn't really fit for what this was. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't mind too much, but there are some.
So it made some people mad what he did, or upset.
Well, everybody's going to be mad when people remake stuff, right? Or make fandom.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's two people from from New Jersey. What's that? We call them the Cheeto. Cheeto crumb bloggers. Don't make them mad. Don't mind me.
Huh?
I found my
pen. Well, people in Jersey are upset about all kinds of stuff, Hatter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's always just one or two people. Oh, no.
Like me and Deb. We're two people from Jersey, right, Deb?
Oh, she just got it. Deborah's just here? Got on. She just got
Deborah's here.
Rack knew that I was waiting for her.
She just set up the turnpike.
Hello. Not near the turnpike, but Jersey all the way.
Hey, Deb.
How's it going?
Pretty well. How you guys doing?
Wonderful. I'm just explaining to Hatter my topic.
Explaining.
I'm explaining the book and how we're going to be digging deep into this topic because there's so many wonderful things to be inspired by. All right. You were like, oh, we're finally, Hatter, you were like, we're finally done with Star Wars. We finally wrapped up Star Wars. You were like, okay, I know nothing about Star Wars. Sky is done with the Star Wars series. Let's move on. And then what do? I hit you with
right into
another
homework.
It doesn't have to be homework, though. You can just bring me a poem about water. Like, it doesn't have to be homework. Like,
no,
I know.
You did all the homework and posted it this time. All we had to do is thumb through the stuff and make a decision. I like it better that way.
I did. These topics are, once we go from the Valar, we're going to go to the Maiar, and I'm still building topics as I go. The Star Wars one, I didn't roll it out until almost, besides the new show, I didn't roll out that Star Wars until every episode was made on my topic, except for the new shows that hadn't come out yet. I mapped that out front to back so that I highlighted every character. It was really important to me that I got all the characters, at least in one of the things. Yeah, it's not a cartoon. It's an animation. So ruffled about that. But this one, I don't have to. I'm not as worried because I'm going where the book goes. I'm going in order, so I'm not, and I know a general idea, but I'm still building topics. I don't have as much time on my hands as I used to, but all right. With that note, I know you probably have to read and run. I'm super excited. Oh, I love this picture of him too. All right, I'm so excited because you wrote about Olmo. All right,
Duke.
Hello.
Yeah, I like this picture too. And I can't even talk today. I went with a pantoum because he's water and the pantoum has a flow, and because I didn't last time. I don't know. Anyhow, I chose a quote. Did I choose a quote or did I just use his? I think I just went with like his attributes and stuff, and wrote about him and the fact that he's like elemental. Okay. The dweller of the deep hydrates the world as elf children sleep. And here we go. As the elves from Middle Earth fall into sleep, ocean tides rock then roll and a wave grows. The king of the sea rises from the salted deep, announced by sea music churning out echoes. Then roll and a wave grows, splashes climb as vapors that shape clouds, announced by sea music churning out echoes, crashing on coasts as water fills the shroud. Splashes climb as vapors that shape clouds. This lord of water stirs bays as shores shake, crashing on coasts as water fills the shrouds, then sky sprinklers water flowers at daybreak. This lord of water stirs bays as shores shake. The king of the sea rises from the salted deep, then sky sprinklers water flowers at daybreak as the elves from Middle Earth fall into sleep. And Paul.
Oh, that was like a lullaby. Especially because of how you ended on that last line and how they fall asleep. That was very, very clever. To kind of set it up that way. Like, this is very, very clever. I really love sky sprinklers. I think that is so, I just love it. I think it's creative. I think it's fun. And it's visual, and it's like, because a sprinkler on a lawn, and you can say a sprinkle of rain, but I don't know if I ever combined the two and thought about what that would look like or what that metaphor would mean. And I really, or that analogy, rather, what that analogy would really look like. And I just think it's just brilliant. I really, really was partial to that. I also love how you bring in the clouds because I've been talking about how all of the waters of Olmo run through the entire earth or Arda. And so he knows all because he is in all of the earth. However, in the book and in his, you know, in his background, he works with Manwë, which we talked about last week, and he kind of was like the lord of the sky, lord of the wind. They work together to create the clouds. So even though that he's of the earth and his waters of the earth, there's still that idea of, okay, well, the waters and the clouds and it rains down, and they have like a brotherhood of creating the clouds together. So he didn't create all the clouds. He kind of went with Manwë in it, and they kind of worked together. So I love that you didn't exempt that out, that you actually brought that in too, because I haven't mentioned, well, yeah, he's in the earth, but he's also in the sky too. So I love that idea that you brought in there. I love that you went with the form. I think it's flowing, which is, I agree, goes well with water, because water tends to flow and ebb, or ebb and flow, rather. And it has a nuance of nature. I also was very partial to the announced by sea music churning out echoes, because if you've listened to the show so far, or if you read any of the notes that were on the show, they talk about how music, through the waters, it is the most echo of the music of Einar. So through the waters, you are most akin or close to the creation of the world and how it was created. And it's such a beautiful thing, and I love how you brought the music in there. And the music plays such a big part in this book and the foundation of this. And so I love that you didn't – that was part of it, and you brought it in through – the stanzas and those repeat lines. So I love that too. And I got to give somebody else a chance to comment before you have to go. I really love this one. Thank you. And,
thank you.
And,
awesome comment.
And thank you. Yeah, and I did do the homework. And not only did I do the homework, but I also put up pictures. So I'm glad that you grabbed one of them.
That's why I gave you kudos, because like it was so much easier to just get the thumb through all the information right there at my fingertips and run with it. So thank you for
doing
homework.
Well, they're all set up like that, so they're going to be good. And I, as soon as my contest closes, I'll be opening another one for this one, and you can go ahead and drop this in as a pre-write. So there'll be a contest with each one. The contest will probably be after the show. Because I just can't, I don't think I'm going to be able to keep up, but you can just put that right in there if you wish. Let me get you some comments here. Raconteur, what do you think?
You mentioned the thing that I noticed the most about how the book tends to mention the idea of how everything came about from the music. So you lace the music through the water and the flow of things corresponding so beautifully to the topic. I thought that was a fantastic way to represent it, and to use, you know, the pantoon with the repeating lines. Again, you know, that worked. That was an excellent choice as well. So kudos. I enjoyed it very much, Debs.
Thank you very much. Great comment. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, and Heather, it's your fault that as I read, I had to bite my tongue to keep from saying, then sky, 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 sprinklers, water, flowers, just saying.
I was going to say that you ease it to the dark side. You saw pantaloon. Pantaloon.
Pantoum.
Pantoum, yeah, but
pantoum.
Pantaloon's
not,
a pan.
It's not an evil poem.
Yeah. Are there echoes underwater? Does the echo underwater? That's pretty good.
Oh, I don't
are there
know.
What?
The, one of the synopsis said that he hears music and echoes or something like that. I ran with it.
Hmm. Yeah, the creation of the world was the world. Remember, I told you that the world was created by music, by all the voices of the Varda, and the orchestration of Eru, and. And in water, you can hear most the music of creation of the world, and it's echoes of the water. So that's why I said it was. I love that she put that in there, because of that aspect of it.
In the key of A.
Hmm. Do you have any other things that you want to say, Patter? Or are you good? I don't want to cut you off, though. So.
No, I just wish I could. I just wish I could write in these. These forms, I get so handcuffed and twisted, I lose it. So I appreciate these pantoons and the evil ones
thank
too.
You, Heather.
That I cannot be.
The evil ones. Seb, thank you so much. I haven't plugged shows yet. Do you want to plug your show? Or do you want me to plug it when I plug shows? Up to you. I don't know how much time you have.
You can just go ahead and do it when you do it in, as part of the routine there, and I will say again thank you to all, and love and respect. And
so, but before you leave, I'm partial to the duck and the boy, so I have this title in my head. It's called The Boy and His Duck. But then I also had another title rolling in my head. It was called Underneath Sunflowers Underneath a Moon. I can't remember. I actually didn't write it down, so now I lost it. I got to think about it, because that Dandelion Moon one was absolutely brilliant, too. So I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do. But brilliant pictures. All right, I'll let you go.
I'm glad you like the pictures, and thank you. And night, everyone. Love and respect.
Night.
Night.
Okay, I am going to press play. Yeah. I'm not going to plug just yet because I want to make sure I get these poems in. And we still have a half an hour, but because I have less clips, I like more chat, so I want to make sure I want to get the chat in, and I also want to get the poems in, I was there and now I'm not. All right, here we go. Arachnator, my little snowman poem. All right, Arachnator, you want to say the title of this poem?
Winter's Heartbreak, is that what it was?
Yes, it was. All right. Where is it? I may have not reloaded this one. Okay, I'm going to have to press reload. Maybe we will, because I'm not prepared. All right. No, because I want to press a button. I got to press a button. All right, please stand by.
Did you know Tolkien opened up the fast food franchise? A Subway
is
Tolkien?
Is going to be a pun?
Subway Tolkien?
I got that one. All right, here we go. Winter's Heartbreak. Okay. Let me just lower your volume a little bit. Okay.
Winter's Heartbreak by Arachnator. I wanted to be her umbrella, but she was simply too cold. Every time she held me, my heart felt as if it had just been sold. She took my offer of shelter and understanding when times get hard, and wrapped a scarf around it to display like a trophy in her front yard. When a snowman's feelings seem inconsequential, do they sob cubes of ice? Is it possible to endure when it seems nothing will suffice? Summer came and everything melted, much to my relief. Nothing left but a top hat as a monument to my grief. End poem.
Arachnator, that couldn't be more perfect because the last word of it was grief. I love that poem. I just love that poem. So here's the backstory, if some of you guys don't know. I loved that picture, and I was going to steal it. I was going to steal it before he took it, and then he took it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to still put it in my files, and maybe later on in life, I'm going to write to it too. Even though he wrote to it. I may write to it later on in life. But then he had to go and write this poem, and now I can't write a poem to it because all I can think about is his poem and how good it was, and I don't want to write to it. It's like that poem belongs to that picture now, and I can never write to it. And
really?
I was very – I'm sorry?
I said, oh, really? I just...
Yes. So I was a little chuffed. I was a little angry for a little while at how I was like, damn, that Arachnator. But I really love this one. Anything from the Hurt Locker, I'm pretty in game. But, you know, the fact that he took this cute little snowman with a little umbrella and these little bunnies around it, and then she brings this complete heartbreaking, she turns that photo into this complete heartbreaking story, and he uses the umbrella as, you know, I want it to be her umbrella, that analogy, where I want it to be her safety, I want it to protect her, and then to kind of turn the coldness of what's around the snowman, even what the snowman is, you know, like, she was that cold, and I mean, it just depicts a relationship that where one person is just giving so much so that I know the snowman's melted, but in turn, it's kind of like saying there was nothing left of me after I had expensed myself of the energy that it took to try to reach this person. So when you think of it, well, yes, the snowman melted, but when you think about emptying yourself and your soul and your heart to another person, feeling like you have nothing left, that kind of duality is heartbreaking. I love that you were able to do that through this lens. I'm a big fan of creativity, and when I look at something, yeah, I can look at it face value, but I also very much appreciate when somebody can look at something and then leap from a snowman to equating it to emptying oneself for the love of somebody else, and kind of being left with that nothing, that nothingness. So, and then having that top hat being the only thing left out there, like now I'm picturing it in, you know, in a bank of snow with just this lonely top hat, just so solemn. And that in itself, as somebody who likes to take pictures, is very striking in its own art form. Really well done. I don't know if you know this, that Hatter, Raconteur, because I know that you have a little bit trouble seeing the screen. But this is on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's on 11 lists. I don't know if you know that. Do you know that?
No,
you know
I didn't
that
know
it's
that.
On 11 lists?
I knew it was pretty popular, but yeah.
And that's not including your list. That's not including the list, the Hurt Locker. It's on 11 lists besides your own list. So I just take that into the consideration here when you're talking about that poem. Hatter, would you like to comment?
Yeah, where do you suppose snowmen, the term, came from? Could it have been a strategic military to fool people, thinking you had more people in camp than possible? Or has it always been a nursery rhyme type of a kid's idea? Was there an original, you know what I'm saying, the snowman term? could it have been a deceitful thing?
Let's see.
Originally?
We're going to ask Google, right, because the internet knows everything. Identifying the first ever snowman is impossible, but some people believe it's plausible that prehistoric people also used snowmen to represent themselves. Cavemen created art and all the available materials, whether it be mud, wood, and sticks, one can only speculate that a piece of coal might have once been the eye of a prehistoric snowman. But who... Who made up the word, though? Who made up the word snowman? All right, so go ahead and make a comment, and I'm going to research this for you. So you can comment on his poem, and I'll...
Well, it brought up a lot of the images in the snowman one. Like I said, it came right from the picture. And that's the same. If somebody writes to a picture, you can't use it again. See, I like when I used to run the contest to the same picture. I like the different angles that people can take from the same picture.
Yeah.
But interesting. Yeah, snowman with an umbrella. That's pretty good.
The term to snow someone also means to lie or fool them. So snowman could have come from con artists.
It's derived from a Tibetan word. I don't know what this Tibetan word is. A Tibetan word.
Yeti.
Yeah, from Yeti. That's exactly what it's derived from. That I'm reading. Okay, we're gonna do some snowman research. Not right now though. But we have some homework to do.
Homework.
thank you so much. And I'm gonna go ahead and still not plug the shows because I want to get your poem read, Hatter, and we got 15 minutes left. So you can go ahead. I don't. I don't know which one. There's two different ones there. I'm not sure. Read whichever one you'd like. Just let me know when you're reading it so I can read along.
A lover's length. And it goes like this. With trembled hands, I cannot breathe, looking back with turned away. The taste of things now memories, asking you to stay. The passions drawn into my eyes, begging you to keep quite still. Minutes show in whimpered cries, holding time against its will. Your body quivers in a lover's cold, sharing breasts in tight embrace. Fingers tethered in a stranglehold, counting time in a lover's lace. With you I take this leap of faith, ne'er trying to pretend, seeking roads that I will take to a place I have never been. In poem.
Excellent. Love that alliteration there, and I see that I've read this one before. I was just going to say, I love those L's. I did just say I love those L's. That's apparently, that's what I love too. It's funny how sometimes you go back.
You love it.
Yeah, you go, but you know what you like, right? Sometimes I like different things. Like, sometimes I'll read a poem, and then I'll say, oh, I love this part, and then, like, a few months later, I'm, like, drawn to something else. But this one, I guess, I really love as well. Yeah. I love the emotion that you put into this, the trembling hands, the speaking of can't be able to breathe. These are relatable things, and our body kind of taking over when our heart's involved. I love that you talk about the taste of things now memories. I love when people talk about taste and you paired it with a memory line. I thought that was beautiful. And then you get that drop line asking you to stay, and then you realize that this is not going to be a happy story. And you kind of just drop that in right in the beginning. But you still go into the passion. You still go in against, you know, these slow whispered cries and the quivers of this lovely embrace. And how that turns, and it like goes back and forth too, because by the end you've got like this hope, you know, with you I take this leap of faith, like you go, and emotion isn't straightforward. You don't go from A to point B and go through all the emotions. Sometimes you might feel anger or sadness and then go back to happiness and then go back to hope and then go back to sadness or go back to happy. Like people definitely go through, like, they don't go through things, yeah, they don't go through things in a certain order and stick to this. This isn't like a 12-step program, you know. Oh my gosh, excellent piece. I love this one. I loved reading it again. Rack and Tour, what do you think?
Yeah, I really like this. The thing about the emotions, you know, if they weren't so strong, you know, you wouldn't really care, you know. So you become invested in it, you know. The way that you describe the connection, the affinity, is what gives it the value. And then you kind of tear at that when you break it down, or you take it away, take that away from them. So, you know, if it wasn't so emotional or strong, it wouldn't matter. You'd be like, you know, oh, okay, you know, he dropped his whatever. It's like, you know, big deal. But it is a big deal because, you know, you're describing that attachment, that affinity that they have for each other. And you know, therefore we're invested in that idea and the connection. And, you know, it becomes a big tragedy when that collapses, because, you know, it had value and you wanted to see it succeed and, you know, cheering for the underdog, however you want to put it. And then, you know, it comes apart in the end. So it's like, you know, that kind of sucks. So beautiful rendition of that.
Thank you, Rex. Ten minutes to come to go. I did that in five.
Excellent comment. I've been drinking so much tea so that I would stop coughing. I'm going to be peeing all night. I don't even know. It's too much information, but I don't know.
That stops your coughing?
It's not going to be good. And I'm only saying this because we're nearing the end, so I can probably stop drinking tea. But I've gone through 4 cups of tea trying to soothe my throat so that I wouldn't cough your guys' brain out. And drinking that much tea before bed is just not a choice here.
Do you have any corn
honey?
But I don't have any honey. I don't think I have any honey.
Do you have whorehound?
No, I don't have a whorehound.
That's the original herb that they used to give for whooping cough, by the way, and it is available in tea form.
Whooping cough?
Well, I would like some DayQuil.
Yeah. It's a throat.
All right, so I'm going to go look for whorehound tea. I'm drinking dandelion tea right now. I am all out of DayQuil, and I don't know. I bought NyQuil by accident because I don't like NyQuil, so I probably will not be taking it. It makes me feel like I have a hangover every time I drink it. Every time I take NyQuil, the next day I'm miserable. Like, it takes me, 8 years to get over NyQuil.
Have you tried just Benadryl to sleep?
No, and I need to be able to wake up if I have to in the middle of the night, so I can't really do that. But also,
I don't think
I will push one lozenge above all the other ones. Fisherman's Friend, and you can get it at Walmart. They're cheap and it works amazingly well.
Well, I have cough drops normally, but I ran out because I've been sucking them down like candy.
This is a different kind of cough drop. Their advertisement is it's medicine, not candy. Trust me, if you took this, it would clear out whatever's going on in your head, and you would know that you ate something that was not candy. And believe me, it's some kind of I keep wanting to say eucalyptus, menthol, whatever it is, works. And it works really, really, really well.
Okay.
It's called Fisherman's Friend. And I will shamelessly plug it. I have no affiliation to the company. I don't even have stock. But I'm telling you that stuff. If I ever have a problem with my throat or my sinuses, I take one of those things and it clears it right up. And it's over the counter. It's not prescription.
We are not being sponsored by this. Okay, I love it.
Fisherman's
Bueller.
Friend.
Bueller. Bueller.
All right. If anybody's wondering why I'm pressing the Bueller button, there is a reason. Because we're going to plug shows. And I will look into that, Rack. Don't worry. I will look into it. Tomorrow night show is all about the 80s challenge. Live at 10. And she is throwing down a challenge this week, a rare event, but what the heck. How many 80s idioms, quote, slang, phrase can you use in a poem from the 1980s? Be prepared to discuss the decades that brought us the verbiage of the Valley Girl, the Terminator, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I love the 80s. And I happen to have a lot of clips in here that might be helpful, and I'm going to have to go on her show and start pressing buttons. This is one thing.
Hello. Maybe Hatter, even if you think of just 80s music, you could write a poem just using music titles.
Did you say hello?
That became part of the vernacular. Frankie Says Relax and Hammer Pants and I mean, there's so many things from the music end of it that.
I love you, but you just talked to my husband.
I wear my sunglasses at night.
All right, listen.
Well, I sort of missed the half the 80s. I was recovering from the accident in the late 90s, and I lost about 5 years. I woke up married and had a kid.
Hello?
And
no, I said hello, but that's close enough.
I was pressing a clip, but you guys were talking over it. So I don't know what you guys are doing, but no. You slept through the 80s. You guys are having fun. It's okay. It's fine. Well, if you slept through the 80s, then you should come to the show tomorrow. And
We'll see what you missed.
You can see what you missed, right? So come by her show. Have fun.
Do or do not.
Do or do not. There is no try. I feel like that's the 90s. You know, this is
nope.
The problem. I was a 90s kid, and I have a lot of 90s clips. I don't know how many. Skeletor laugh.
You're losing my religion.
I might have to. Yeah, mine are mostly 90s. You can tell I'm a 90s kid here. I mean, there are some. But
Beautiful.
Now that I'm looking at it, there's a lot of 90s. All right, so tomorrow night, I'm going off topic. Come to Soupy's show tomorrow night, 80s. I do have the Bueller clip.
Can I ask a question?
When you were came out, didn't that come out in the 90s?
Nope.
Sarah, think
was you? 87?
Was
it 87?
Late 90s.
Maybe.
Hmm. Yeah. All right.
Where's the
1986.
Calendar?
It came out. See, it came out the year that I was born. But it was really popular when I was young. So I don't know. It must have lived up its time. All right. So on Friday, it's Linda's Liquid Damage Lounge, and she is doing open poetry. So stop by for that. Saturday, AP already plugged. Enjoy Hatter AP and Deborah Lee. Sunday. Is there a Sunday? Hold on. I need to check the date for Sunday. It's the 20th. 21st, yes. Sunday night, Murder and Mayhem, Yogatas, I don't know how to pronounce that, I'm sorry, JCA, but it's a mystery. And 1984 was one of the most mysterious unsolved cases in German history. It took place in October. And...
What's the calendar hit? What file is the calendar? Is the calendar hit under now? Which topic can you find
the
calendar?
In the staff room. It says calendar in the staff room. It just says calendar. In the staff room, though. In the staff room, not on the board. But just going to the staff room. All right, so like I said, Murder and Mayhem.
Okay.
Yeah, on the top of the board. Murder and Mayhem. And... learning about serial killers gives me too much anxiety, but a lot of people love true crime. And if you're one of those people, then stop by and hang out with JCA and hang out with him. I get a little too much anxiety, but I mean, they like Unsolved Mysteries, that show, it's a big hit. Like, people love it, so stop by. And then that brings us to Monday night, Personal Prompt Monday, with Deborah Lee, and she goes live at 10, and it's the color yellow. There are some amazing pictures there. Really check them out because they're really good. I was having a hard time picking between three, and then Titus took one I wanted, so it got me down to two, and now I'm just trying to figure out what I want to write. But there's a word bank, optional, as always, color crayon box. And then that brings us back to Tuesday, which I am on, and I already talked about. It's Ayule and Yavanna. We're going on with the Silmarillion Part 4. And then that rounds us to Wednesday, and AP already plugged. So I have 10 seconds left. I'm going to play my play-out music. Thank you guys so much for hanging out and for enjoying the topic and for sharing me with your time with me.
Did you say there was a picture of a duck and a boy?
Yes, it's in the rain. I think I might take it, but I also really like the flowers and the moon.
Just so you know, the band Warrant has a song called Down Boys.
Okay.
stuck down and boys. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to write up about a boy and his duck. You know? Because I've been hanging out with somebody, and he's a boy, and his favorite animal is a duck. So I thought it was perfect. I thought it was like calling my name. Because that's all I ever hear about these days is a duck.
ask him if he knows why when they fly in formation in a V, how come there's always one line is longer than the other?
All right.
Do you know why?
I'll ask him. Don't know if I'll let him
know
the answer. Why?
Ask him if he's got any grapes.
Probably he might know that answer better. What did you say, Hatter? I'm sorry.
Why there's more? Why one lion is longer than the other?
All right.
Well,
why?
Ducks.
That's funny. I thought you were really going to tell me like a thing. You're so funny.
I know. Everybody else.
I didn't hear the answer.
There are more ducks in
because
that.
Because there's more ducks. There's more ducks than that. Because there's more ducks.
Because there's more ducks.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right, you guys, is dad jokes. I'm going to press play. Thank you. I'll see you next week. I'm pressing play.
Night.
Good night, sweet prince. We'll be right back.